Welcome to Magic's Big Adventure, a BelowTopSecret.com member podcast feature, Volume 10, Prophecy. In my last volume, Volume 9, I talked a little bit about the Yoshiel experience, and this will cover some of that and how I guess, came into my own as a prophet, which is quite an interesting story. Some of the things, I guess, that distinguish me as a prophet is that I don't claim to actually know anything that anyone else can't know. So I really, truly believe that, you know, unless, of course, this is all just wild fancy, and that's quite possible, but I really, truly believe that the stuff that I see or have seen as Yoshiel is information that is available to anyone in the world that looks within, that you will, if you meditate and you look inward, you will eventually start to find this stuff. I think the only thing that is I could consider unique about me, and it's not even technically unique to me, is the fact that I've had an opportunity to compare memories with someone else and find commonalities in them. I don't think that's necessarily unique in the sense, first of all, you know, Muriel, Vanessa, whoever it was, assuming this happened at all outside my mind or kind of complicated. I'm sorry, I could go in circles forever if I keep doing these disclaimers, so I'm just going to try and go for it and try not to get too caught up in the legalities. Anyway, getting back to the nature prophecy, I consider myself a prophet in the Webster's Dictionary sense, in as much as someone who speaks from divine inspiration. So what's divine inspiration? Well, that depends on what you call divine. I think that we are all children of the Creator, and that we all carry memories, the memories of the Creator within us. I actually refer to that as the seal of the Creator on our souls. And I am of the opinion that every soul that exists contains all the memories that were shared in the last convergence, which happens to include all the memories from all the previous convergences as well. That is obviously a huge amount of data, and you know, difficult to conceive that we could carry that much data, but I think there's a lot more to us than we might realize, that the nature of our spiritual existence is much, much more vast than our focus on this notion of reality allows us to comprehend, but that when we aren't focused like this, that we are capable of actually drawing on that, and that, in fact, you know, talking about cycles of creation, I'm convinced that that is precisely what we draw upon to when we create the next reality. And when we create the next reality, we tend to be very conservative and don't change much, because that is a tradition that ensures that the next universe, it will not fail. I think it's likely that there are other branches of the tree where they were more radical and that those branches failed. This one so far has not. And here we are to prove it. What comes from this? I'm sure several branches will fail from this, you know, divergence. People will try things that won't work out, but that most of us probably will. And so the vastness of totality will be maintained. Anyway, looking back on my transition, you know, when Yoshiel appeared, one of the things that I, you know, looked through the thread, I only looked through it yesterday. I really haven't looked at it today. I just kind of brush up my memory. I was getting pretty arrogant, and that's one of those grandiose manic things. And I'm not going to try and justify that, but the stuff I was seeing was just getting wild. I had this, you know, as more information started to come out from Yoshiel, I was starting to feel like intense ongoing deja vu, and it was just a very, very powerful, like, you know, imagine a deja vu that goes on for days. And it wasn't just that, it was like a layers, sort of like if you were in a hall of mirrors, or you put two mirrors, you know, facing each other, and you see these reflections, you know, being reflected within each other and going off into infinity. That's how the world was looking to me at that time. I was looking at events that were happening, things that were going on, just even the simple events going on right here in my house, and all these alternatives and past variations were just there, right there for me. And I was looking at world events and just going, oh my God. Everything I looked at had this depth of almost like an echo effect on it. It was very disorienting in one sense, but it was also very exhilarating to see it. And my whole view on where we are and what's been going on was from the perspective of someone looking back on everything. And again, maybe that's just self-delusion and I can go with that, but it really was quite a feeling of being, wow, here I am on top of the mountain. It was an amazing experience, regardless of whether it was just self-delusion or not. One of the things about again, I have issues with this whole prophet thing. I go with it because it's technically correct. I'm a prophet that can't see the future. I cannot see the future. I just simply can't. I couldn't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I can't predict lotto numbers. I don't know what's going to happen next. People say, well, what about dates? So far the best I've come up with, I think something big is going to happen in December of 2005, like around the middle of the month. And I'm probably wrong. In fact, I hope I'm wrong because I don't want to get into this business of trying to predict the future, even though I have all these things which I consider to be memories, which seem to signify that, that seem to correlate to events that are not yet happened in this cycle. The thing is, they're memories of what happened last time, maybe the time before or the time before. And so there's necessarily a degree of error built into them. And one of the things is that the dates shift. They're not always the same. I think some dates are the same, but because the events change a little each time, then the dates shift. And I think they tend to shift farther back. And in fact, I think that might, I can't say for sure, but that might even be one of the reasons why so many things that are predicted as going to happen on this date don't. But then maybe they might happen later, and maybe a lot later, maybe because that original prediction was made, millions or even billions of cycles in the past, and it's just kind of stuck. And over these cycles, it has become more and more obsolete, but people still keep making the prediction. So, what good is a prophet that can't predict the future? That's a fair question. I don't know. And again, it's like, I don't even want to be a prophet because, first of all, the pay sucks. And look at the way most prophet careers end up, people getting their heads cut off and, eviscerated or other horrible things. That's really not what I'm looking for. So, I have a lot of issues with the prophet thing, even though I accept the title sort of, but I feel pretty silly about it. And in my view, so getting back to the whole notion of prophecy here, my theory of prophecy is that prophecies are in fact memories of things, memories of futures past, with apologies to the Moody Blues. That, in other words, that a prophet who is predicting what will happen in the future is remembering, is reaching in, is from within, remembering the way it happened before. And the thing about that is that it won't necessarily happen the same way again. I know that, like Christians especially, they look at the prophets and say, the test of a biblical prophet is they never make a prediction that doesn't come true. And that's a great standard. It's a high standard. I don't think it's one I could meet. In fact, actually, I made a prophecy. I wrote down a prophecy that basically that I would not be able to do it. So that prophecy itself kind of invalidates me as matching the biblical standard. So, I'm not claiming to be a biblical prophet. I'm not that good. But, the whole issue of inspired by God, what does that mean? It's like, the creator? I don't know. I'm looking within, and this is the kind of stuff I'm seeing. What a crazy line of work this is. So my angle or gimmick, if you want to call it that, is that, no, I can't see the future. And I don't think anyone can. I don't think it's possible to actually see the future like that. And I think that's a good thing. Because the ability to actually see the future would suggest that there is no way for us to break out of the prison of fate, as I call it. It would mean that there is no chance for us to ever achieve free will, which I think is actually a goal that we have as spirits. These cycles of creation are a way to evolve our reality. But after so many iterations where things are the same, I think there's a weariness that sets in on us, and we want to be able to try new things. But we need to have a reality that has a sufficient degree of complexity that a convergence will not occur in it. And that is kind of the test of free will. I'm pretty sure that in this cycle of existence, we will come to another convergence eventually. And I keep thinking it'll be soon, but, you know, people have been predicting the end of the world since the beginning of the world. So, you know, everyone's always living in the end times. And I have a feeling that's because, in a sense, if you look back through all these cycles, that's the way it was. The end times came sooner before. You know, I think if you look at our history, and if you were to just draw some analogies, there was a time when history ended before Jesus came along. You know, there was a time that ended before the dinosaurs came along. You know, this was a long, many, many cycles back. And so here we are now, and you can see, I mean, you know, there's all these things that come together. And by the way, a lot of my prophecies sound a lot like stuff out of the book of Revelation, you know, from John of Patmos. I call him Brother Yoni. It's kind of an inside joke. One of the ironies of prophecy is that, you know, prophets, by the way, you know, if you look at like the Jewish Torah sense of what a prophet was a messenger of God, someone who brought messages from God. And, you know, usually ultimatums like, you know, you got to start doing this or stop doing that, or bad things will happen. And that's a very common recurring theme. You know, if you look through, you know, the Torah, the Old Testament, you'll see this constantly. The prophets are always warning people. And the point of that is that maybe they will change, and maybe the bad things that the prophet's predicting happening won't happen. So, you know, if you look at prophets in that sense, then it's not about predicting the future with them. It's actually, and so that whole test, I think, is sort of specious. It's not about predicting the future. It's about guidance. It's about, you know, it's about spreading the word, sharing the message, if you will. And I don't know if my message is divine, but I think it's a good message. And what's my message? My message is look within yourself. You know, look within yourself. There's so many problems that come to us because we think the answers lie outside of ourselves. And we tend to, and I did this for so many years in my life, I tended to rate the value of my life based on what other people thought of me. I tended to rate the value of my life based on things that were going on in the world around me. And what I'm coming to realize in the last year is that that's a completely backwards way to look at things, that what really matters about me is what's inside me. And I think that is a gift, if you want to call it that, that the Creator has given every single one of us. So am I a prophet? I guess technically, yeah. But the thing is, I don't have special knowledge that other people can't get. And really, if you look at all the religions of the world, you see commonalities. You know, anthropologists, they look for things that they call cross-cultural, where it's something that you see in every culture. And when you see something that's in every culture, you can infer from that you are seeing something that is inherent to the nature of human beings. And in a spiritual sense, that's what I'm looking at with religions. There are things that are common. It may not seem that Christianity and Buddhism and Hinduism and Islam and Judaism and animism, paganism, you know, even the modern variation of Wiccans, all that. It may not seem that they have commonalities, but they do. And there's some very fundamental things that they have in common. And the fact that no matter what culture you check out, that these commonalities exist, I think that means something very important. So looking within, what does that mean? I mean, it could be something like, you know, the race unconscious. This could be just, okay, stuff that's encoded in our DNA that you could think of as like instinct. But here's the fun thing about this, you know, or the nature of the brain or whatever. The fun thing about this is that we can think of this in terms of, okay, it's a physical thing. But what I'm coming to see is that our physical manifestations are a product of our spiritual manifestations. In other words, we have this notion of a dichotomy between the physical and spiritual world. But what I'm coming to see is that, no, that's a false dichotomy, that there's actually much more spirituality going on in our daily lives than I think anyone, even the most spiritual person, realizes. Because our very form, you know, the nature of our brains and physical bodies, if you want to call them that, is actually, it corresponds to our spiritual selves and vice versa. That's why there's this, there is a tendency for us to hold on to these forms. And, you know, I think these forms evolve. And by the way, I don't consider the human form to be the most high, the highest form. In my meditations, you know, I talk about contacting these other beings. We're not at the top of the heap. The thing is, as you go past where we are, the nature of the existence changes. A lot, you know, you could look at us, I mean, from the standpoint of higher planes, if you want to call them that, this is hell. This is hell. And from our standpoint, there are planes of existence which are hell. You know, they're far more violent and chaotic than this one. But, you know, these beings, like some of the beings I've been in contact with lately, are so mellow. And just, they radiate love, and they're very, very loving and understanding, and they really just very relaxing beings to commune with. And what I get from them is that they don't look down on us, you know, but that they've been through this and they've moved past it. I think Buddhists would call these beings Buddhas. That's what I think of them as in my mind. I think of them as Buddhas. But the thing that about it is they don't look down on us as being inferior. We're just in different stages on the same path. And so, you know, here we are, and I think in terms of humanity when I have my prophecies, I think about what goes on in this world. And, you know, I think about the Creator manifesting, for example, as a human. But I don't think that the Creator necessarily will manifest as just a human. I think that the Creator, when the time of the convergence comes, we're all going to know. We're all going to know. We won't all know at once. That's an interesting thing that I'm seeing, is that some of us are going to have to be chased down. Some of us are not going to go willingly. There's a whole period of time where just spirits need to get the memo about the convergence, and it's always been like that. And there's just like demons and stuff that are just the holdouts. They're just not getting it. Some of them are very primitive, and it takes a little while for them to get the feel. And by the way, once they come around, sharing the memories with them is really, it's actually quite a blast, because they have a completely different view on what's been going on from their perspective. You know, evolution is not an across-the-board proposition. We all advance at different rates, and that's actually one of the good things. That's one of the reasons, it's almost like a form of spiritual diversity. Anyway, I'm kind of getting off the track of prophecy here, but in a way, this all relates to prophecy, in the sense that I don't consider prophecy to necessarily be predicting the future, per se. In other words, not in a surefire, concrete kind of way. However, because I think of these as memories of past futures, I think that it's possible for someone who looks within and gets these memories to have a pretty good shot at getting an idea of what's coming. And I'll do another volume on this, because this one's running long, but prophecy is an interesting thing, especially because I think almost all of it is self-fulfilling, but by its mere existence, it tends to guide events in that direction. We'll get to that next. This has been Volume 10 of Magic's Big Adventure, covering prophecy, or starting to, and this is Magic, signing out for now.